We're looking for John chapter 14. We got all the way through chapter 14, verse 3. I'll read it to you again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We got those three verses. Jesus talking to his disciples in the upper room. Judas is now gone. Judas was never a follower of Jesus Christ. He's gone out now to gather the soldiers, the chief priests, so they can get the mob together to come and arrest Jesus later on in the mount, at the Garden of Gethsemane over in the Mount of Olives. But here in the upper room, Jesus consoles, talks to his. And he says, don't fret. Don't let your heart be troubled. We talked about that. We talked about it the last time we got together. And the disciples do not understand what's going on. Remember, they don't know where he's going. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. But they can't hear that. And because they're emotionally stressed, they're tired, they're afraid, they're overworked, they're overwhelmed. They just can't hear clearly. They sound just like us, don't they? We're stressed, the holidays are getting to us, we're overworked, we're overwhelmed. And the things that Jesus has said so plainly to us, we're still going, who? What even? Where? What color? Now say that again. 6 months before Jesus went down to Jerusalem to be crucified. 6 months ago, he started telling us, his disciples, the Son of Man will go down to Jerusalem and will be betrayed into the hands of the Gentiles, hands of the enemy. And he will be crucified, put to death. But he will rise again on the third day. And the disciples thought, I don't understand why he says these things. I don't understand what he means. Peter even says, Lord, no way. It's not going to happen to you. Just, you're talking negative. Don't have such negative vibes, dude. That's a paraphrase. I see there's an ad in the local paper. I don't understand it. I've read the whole thing. Doesn't make sense. It's got big holes in it, big gaps. It doesn't make sense. But it's sort of speaking out, I guess, against doubt talk. Maybe you've seen that. I think somebody's paying for this. It's not logical. I don't know who it's helping. Maybe it's helping. I don't know. Doubt talk. You see, if you confess that you're going to get a cold, you'll get one. So no more doubt talk. Come on. Nobody still believes that, do they? You know, when I was a child, Paul says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, well, I thought like a child. Remember when we were little? Okay, I'm hide and seek. If you close your eyes, they can't see you. Bob, go hide. I am. You can't see me? Yes, we can, fool. No. My eyes are closed. When I was a child, I thought like a child, Paul says. I spoke like a child and I acted like one. But when I became a man, as I began to grow up, I put away those things. Nobody still believes that whole doubt talk thing, do they? Yeah, they do. How sad for them. What a life it must be. Got to walk around all day going, going to win the lottery. I'm going to win the lottery. Do you know I was going to win? I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to win. You could never say, I'm going to lose the lottery. Because, oh no, you're going to lose it. Now, saying I'm going to win it doesn't mean I'm going to. But at least I'm not there saying I'm going to lose it. Which guarantees I'm going to lose it. Think. Hello. David. King David. David was depressed. And he said to his men, go back and read through 1 and 2 Samuel. He said to his men, I know Saul is going to catch me, and I know he's going to kill me. Did he? No. Doubt talk. Oh man, Jesus, don't you know better than to have a negative attitude? Don't say those things. Peter says, no way, don't say that. What did Jesus? Jesus looked at Peter lovingly and said, get behind me, Satan. That would hurt my feelings. Don't tell me it wouldn't hurt yours. Don't lie to me. These guys still don't understand what's going on. They don't. Don't laugh at them, though, or mock them, because you know what? I've been reading my Bible for years, haven't you? And aren't you willing to admit I'm still not sure what's going on? I mean, I see more and more. But isn't it amazing how little we know? And we belong to Him, and we're looking for what's going on. It's got to be scary for those who haven't got a clue. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If we're not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, since I go, prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So verse 4, he makes a very clear, plain statement. We'll start now with verse 4. And where I'm going, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. I just told you where I'm going. And so you know where I'm going, and you know the way to get there. And I am so thankful for Thomas. He asks the question that I'm sure, now Jesus didn't rebuke him, but I'm sure the other guys probably looked at him and thought, oh, Thomas, even though they didn't know either. I'm glad Thomas asked it because it causes Jesus to give us an answer. Maybe we wouldn't have had this otherwise. Thomas says this. Thomas saith unto him, verse 5, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Oh, man, Thomas, that is so cool. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And so I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Where? I just told you in my Father's house, I'm going there to prepare a place, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to come back and get you, and I'm going to take you there. Lord, where are you going? Jesus is so calm with us, isn't he? So patient. I just told you. You can tell me. Yeah, I just did. I'm in my Father's house. I know, but where are you going? How can, if we don't know where you're going, how can we know how to get there? Oh, man. I'm glad Thomas asked that question. Because look what Jesus answers in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The word also means but through me. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, looking at Thomas, talking to all the 11, plus every one of us, I am the way. How do we know the way? I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, but through me. I spoke with a Unitarian pastor, Church of Unity. And I read all the books. I knew what they believed, but I thought, reading books is fine, but don't you just like sometimes to hear for yourself from somebody what they think? Even though the book was correct, I still wanted to hear it. So I talked to this pastor. I said, I just have some questions for you. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, we believe. Of course we believe in Jesus. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Well, yes, of course we believe. Sure. Are you Christians? Well, yes, we are. So you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Yes, we believe that. Okay. Now, I know that you and I don't think alike, so I must be asking the wrong questions. Because you answered all those right. But I know you and I don't think alike, so I have to, you know, it's not your fault. I know you're not a believer, but, you know, you can imagine how this guy's feeling. I say, I know, so you've got to be my fault. I'm asking the wrong questions. So let's start again, all right? Because I know you're not saved. Don't try this at home, all right? Because I don't know, for some reason, God just lets me get away with it. Maybe that's why I get all these threats. If you want them, I'll give you some hints. You can get them too. Sorry, I'm asking the question wrong. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God? In other words, do you believe that Jesus Christ is literally God in human flesh? Well, no. But you are a Christian, aren't you? Well, yes. But you don't believe that Jesus has always been God, is God now, and will always be God. And that He came from heaven. Oh, no, no. The Christ consciousness came upon Him. So I said, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way. So you're telling me that Jesus is not the way. He said, no, Jesus is not the way. He is the way shower. Hey, do you have a problem with that, Christian? Jesus didn't say, I'll show you the way. What did He say? I am the way. All right, now, here this really gets tricky. Well, first let me back up after this call. I shared with this guy that was the spirit of Antichrist. He said, you're crazy. I said, well, that's okay. That's reality. But let's stick with Scripture. See, Scripture says, 1 John 4, verses 2 and 3. Hereby, or this is how we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. What do you mean come in the flesh? We're all in the flesh. Yeah, but Jesus came from somewhere in the flesh. You are saying, if you confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, you are saying the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You are saying literally God came down to earth and became flesh. He says every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Then he hung up. Those weren't my words. Why get mad at me? That's what God said about you. Jesus said, I am the way. Think about it. Not the way shower, I'm the way. Okay, I believe that. I don't know where you are at, but I believe Jesus Christ is the way. That means, listen closely, this could shock you. That means every other way is a dead end. Every other road, every other way is a dead end. Doesn't that what it means? I am the way. There is no other way. No one comes to the Father but through me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. So that makes a dead end of everything else. All right, that makes you that believe, us that believe that Jesus is the one way, that makes us narrow-minded, bigoted. What's the Christian term? It's not Christian, but it's what Christians use. Dogmatic. Dogmatic means unbendable. I mean, there are a lot of things I'll give you, but I can't bend on this one. Jesus Christ is the only way. I'll tell you something. If that's the truth, and I believe it is, that's going to leave a lot of people out, isn't it? It's not going to leave them out because they didn't understand or because they didn't have a choice. It's going to leave them out because they choose to take another path. That's your truth. That's not mine. I reject that. I don't want that. There is only one way. The other ways are dead ends. Jesus said it early in his ministry in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13 and 14. Jesus says, enter you, or enter ye, let me put it in American, in English, you enter in at the straight gate. Those of you that want to follow me. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So we want to avoid Broadway. Isn't that what he just said? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are on that. We got to avoid that. We want narrow way. We want the straight way. There is a narrow, straight gate. What is it? Jesus says, I'm the door. I am the way. They're all other ways are dead end. I'm going to tell you something that might freak you. Salvation, eternal life, is obtained in no other way except through Jesus Christ. No religion can save you. Some of you say, well, I'm trying to be more religious. Well, go for it. Oh, you're going to be miserable. Those of you that are Christians, you've been a Christian a little while, and someone says to you, and they ask me this, it's very common, oh, you're a pastor? Yeah. What religion are you? I say, I'm not. I'm not a religion. I'm a Christian. You see, you can be a Buddhist and not know anything about Buddha. You just, you know, flowers and nice things, and you just like the colors. And you can just follow that. It's just a peaceful path, supposedly. You can be a Krishna and not know Krishna or have anything to do with him. You can be a Hindu and not worry about the oversoul and nirvana and everything that goes with it. You know, you can be a New Ager and, you can meet some ascended masters or some of those 35,000-year-old warriors and deal with them, but you don't have to really be a part of them. But you cannot be a Christian unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not a religion, it's a relationship. I cannot be a Christian unless I have a personal, right now, relationship with Jesus. Are you a Christian? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Satanists do not believe in a literal devil. So you can be a Satanist, and someone say, do you worship the devil? You say, I don't even believe in the devil. But you can't be a Christian and say, I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. There is no personal relationship there. I am the way. You know, no religion will get you to heaven. And you better sit down. Oh, you are. Never mind. No church can get you to heaven. I'm hearing you got to be a member of that church there, this church here, those churches over there. Because if you're not a member of those, you can't get to heaven. That's a lie. No church, no matter what the sign is on the outside, can get you to heaven. No good works will ever get you to heaven. No ceremony of any kind, whether it's secret or not. No initiations of any kind. Doesn't matter what they are, can get you to heaven. No special kind of thinking will get you to heaven either. No special mental exercises that people are practicing to be calm, to be peaceful, to be at one with the oversoul, with the force. It's a dead end. Jesus just said so. I am the way. That's it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So you'll see a whole lot of bumper stickers. I love Jesus. I love little baby ducks. You know, you'll see a fish. You'll see all kinds of crosses and symbols. You'll see great things. I love this. I love that. And, you know, but that doesn't, no. Many of those people aren't even born again. It is a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus talks to a man that's a little over 90 years old, who is a Bible scholar, has given his entire life to the study of God's Word. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nick, you must be born again. No extraterrestrials will get you there if you're looking for them. Search for extraterrestrial intelligence. I think we ought to start looking for some intelligence down here. I don't know that we'll find any, but maybe we ought to start looking. We're missing it. Some kind of higher power, some ascended master you're dealing with, you think is really giving you good info, it's a dead end. Because Jesus Christ said, I am the way. That's pretty tough words. And you see, we say, well, what's the term I want to use? I use dogmatic. That's kind of a, maybe you don't like that. It sounds kind of religious. So let's just use the word absolute. That is an absolute. Jesus said, I am the way. That's an absolute. It's a dogmatic. It means it won't bend. That can't be changed or bent. I am the way. And so that you'll understand that, then I'll add on to it. I am the truth. Didn't he say that? I am the way. I am the truth. Truth. Pilate laughed when Jesus was on trial. Pilate said, what is truth? Now, people are still asking that, aren't they? And boy, I hear funny things when you start talking about truth. It's very common to have someone say, that's your truth, brother. That's your truth. What? First of all, Pilate's question is, what is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. That is an absolute statement. That's dogmatism. That's something that cannot be changed. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. You're looking at an absolute fact. What is truth? You look up the definition of truth and you'll find truth is reality. Not a lot of us anymore deal in reality. I think the world's forgotten how. For instance, you see terrorist attacks, you see what kind of people do them, what kind of people plot them, what kind of people plan them, but don't say what kind of people those are. Let's just ignore reality. Those aren't Muslims, those are bad people. And we'll ignore the reality that Islam is a vicious, dangerous, listen, religion. Not a relationship, but a religion. You start talking like that, and do you notice it rubs against the grain of society? Society doesn't like reality. Truth is reality. I'm sorry, but you and I are going to have to deal with reality. In other words, truth is the way things really are. Does that make sense? Truth is simply the way things really are. That's what truth is. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, I am the truth. Now, truth is based on fact. Let me throw you a curve here. I can't do a whole 6-week thing on this. But let me just throw you a little curve. Sometimes facts can lead you, even though they're solid facts, to a non-truth. Did you hear me? Sometimes facts can lead you to a non-truth, but they are good, solid facts. Let me give you one that's just silly. All who completely submit to God, which of course would mean accept Jesus, because that would be submitting to God. All who completely submit to God the Father have eternal life. Fact. Next fact. God does not submit to himself. He's God. All who submit to God completely have eternal life. Fact. God doesn't submit to himself. Therefore, God does not have eternal life. No, it doesn't follow, does it? The two facts are correct, but the therefore is incorrect. It's not reality. Let me, the way that Norman Geisler says it is this. Here's another simple way to put it. All those who submit themselves to the Pope are Roman Catholics. You can completely submit yourself to the Pope, you're Roman Catholic. Fact. All those that submit themselves to the Pope are Roman Catholics. Fact. The Pope doesn't have to submit to himself because he's infallible. Therefore, the Pope is not Roman Catholic. You see, I've got two facts that are good and solid, but the therefore doesn't fit, does it? That's not reality. It's not logical. It's not reality. And I see people don't like to deal in reality. You say, that's too high above me. It's too high for me too. So let's get back to where I live. Truth is absolute. I'll show you a basic way to say that. 2 + 2 = 4. That's an absolute. You could say, I put $2 in the bank last year. I put $2 in the bank this year. I have $5. The bank's going to say, The truth is, you have four. That's reality. And you can say, that's your truth. That's reality. Deal with it. 2 plus 2 is 4. And it doesn't matter whether it's dollars or apples or shoes or people or cows. Well, you pick it, whatever it is. 2 plus 2 will be 4. That is the truth. Truth is absolute. Truth is always absolute. Now, that means it's unbending. If something is really true, it is true for everyone, everywhere. That's what reality is. I've had people say to me, there are no absolutes. You know what the answer to that is, don't you? Are you absolutely sure? Because that statement you just made is an absolute. You're not living in reality. I don't think you're in Kansas anymore, Toto. You're not there. You're not living in reality. 2 plus 2 is true. No matter what you're counting, no matter what you feel about it, no matter what you think. I had, in school, maybe you did too in school, teachers who were absolute. They were dogmatic. And that teacher would tell me 2 and 2 is 4. I'd say, I don't think so, man. It feels like 7. Wrong. Fail the class. What makes you right and me wrong? Truth. Reality. Deal with it. Teacher would tell me, and the rest of the class, not just me. Although I was her favorite, she would put me right next to her all the time. Bob, you sit up here with me. I thought I was her favorite. My mother said it was something to do with talking too much and problems otherwise, but teacher says to the whole class and above, if you don't complete the assignment by the end of the hour today, you will receive a failing grade. That was truth. I could have looked at her and said, that's not my truth. Try it and see. Some say truth is relative. That's kind of what we're talking about here. Is it? Well, they'll say, that's your truth. No, wait a minute. No. For truth to be the truth, it has to be reality. Therefore, it has to be absolute. Truth is always absolute. Though it can change. For instance, the truth is the temperature might be 35 out there, and that's the truth. But it could change. But we still have to stick with reality. Am I making sense? I could say this. Let me show you what some people call relative truth, relative. I could say to you, I could say, in my refrigerator at home, there is milk. And then my wife could get up here and say, in my refrigerator at home, there is no milk. All right. Can we both be right? I said there is. She said there isn't. One of us must be incorrect. One of us, the reality can't be both. Let me give you even better than that. I say there is a God Almighty who is in absolute control and who has created all and who is running the affairs of men right now. An atheist would get up and say, there is no God. Both of us cannot be dealing with reality, true? One of us must be wrong. It's not relative. I can't say there is a God and you say, that's not my truth. I choose to believe there isn't. Hold it. That's not living in reality. We better find out what's real. What's reality? Is there a God or not? Truth isn't relative. Truth is absolute. Always is. Somebody said to me, well, let's see. How about, you know, difference in directions? Well, you know, I could say to you, there is a door to my left. And you could look at me and say, you're talking about that one? Yeah. No, that's to my right. No, see, it doesn't change reality. Reality is, it is still to my left, isn't it? I didn't say it where it was to you. I said where it was to me. It's to my left. There is a wall directly behind me. You could look and say, no, it's right straight ahead of me. No, I'm talking about truth, and reality is there is a wall directly behind me. It's not relative. It doesn't change things. What people don't want to do, what I'm trying to communicate to you is we don't want to deal with what's real. You know, you could say to me, I don't believe in Russia. So what? There is a Russia. Live with it. That's reality. You could say, I don't believe in nuclear weapons. If one goes off in your neighborhood, cancel Christmas. You don't have to believe. Reality will set in as you burn. Come on, Christian. God says it. Come and let us reason together. We got to deal with reality here. Jesus says, I am the way that makes all other ways a dead end, no matter how you feel about it. You say, that's not fair. What about all those people? Listen, Romans chapter 1 took care of that, didn't it? You've read through your Bible verse by verse. You've clearly listened, and God said, you were born knowing there's a God. You were born knowing that there is a God out there. You don't know at first what to call him or how to deal with him, but you were born knowing that. You take a look at non-Christians who will write science fiction or space odysseys and those kinds of things. You notice that when the creatures come from space, you notice something about them. They are always smarter than us. Why is that? They are always more advanced than we are. That's how they got here. You know why, don't you? Because everyone in their heart knows somewhere outside of me, there's got to be something smarter than this. Somewhere outside of me, there's got to be something that's in control. I mean, I'm losing it. Mankind is born with that in their hearts. And as we get into drugs, and as we get into the strange things we get into, we leave reality behind because we don't want to deal with it. But you will deal with it sooner or later. Reality will not change. It's absolute. I am the way, Jesus said, the truth. Now, he also says, I'm the life. Literally meaning the source of all life. I'm it. That's Jesus. You cannot have eternal life unless you are in Jesus Christ. He is the source of all life. I am the way, the truth, absolute, the life. No man can come to the Father but through me, by me. That's an absolute statement that the world doesn't like because they don't want to deal with reality. Because they want to do their own thing. They think that this is going to make me happy, so I don't want to do this. I choose to think that way. You've heard people say that. Hey, look, there's a test coming. I just choose not to think about it. Don't think about it, but it's still coming. You're going to fail if you don't study or do something. I just choose not to deal with that right now. That's how a lot of people are handling God. You know there's a God out there. You know there's a heaven. You know there's a hell. I can't deal with that right now. You have to deal with it right now. Because now's the time to deal with it. Jesus says, he's the source of all life. You know, remember in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, referring to Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the source of all life. Jesus speaking in the Gospel of John chapter 11. Jesus speaking to Martha, verses 21 through 26. Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. Lazarus is dead. He says, your brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know that. I believe. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. Listen, I am the way. Not the way shower, the way. I am the truth. This is absolute. This is reality that I'm dealing with here and that you need to deal with. And I am the life. There is life nowhere else. All roads are a dead end. You say that is so narrow-minded. Hey, that's what God says. The way J. Vernon McGee puts it, I like it. It's kind of an attitude, but I like it. He says, if you don't like that, go create your own universe and make up your own rules. But until you can do that, this is where you are. This is reality. You're going to have to make some decisions here. Where's your heart? Where's your life? Think about it. If you want to go to heaven, well, let's just forget heaven for a second. I don't mean literally. Let's just pretend you and I wanted to go to someplace really silly. The Seattle Opera House. Is there one? Oh, there is? Let's just say we want to go to a concert at the Seattle Opera House. I've never been there. Who would you ask how to get there? You don't have a map. A map's not available. You're in your car. Who would you ask how to get there? You pull along the side. Or who would you choose to listen to? You pull along this. There's a guy walking, a guy and a girl. You pull over and say, excuse me, I don't know where. I'm clueless. Can you tell me how to get to the Seattle Opera House? And the guy would go, you ever heard of that? She goes, no, I never heard of it. Why don't you just go on down about a mile? Take a right. Let's just see what happens. Would you want to follow directions like that? If you just go down soon enough, you're either going to come to Canada, or you're bound to find something that sounds like music. And you think, thank you. Have a nice day. Maybe you pull over and ask someone else, I'm looking for the Seattle Opera House, can you help me? And they say, I've heard of that. I don't know where it is, but man, I've heard of that. Heard they got some pretty good show. Heard there's a show going on tonight. Yeah, that's we're trying to get there. Well, you know, I don't know. Probably it's got to be downtown. Head downtown. And a lot of streets are one way. It's probably on a one-way street. Thanks, dude. How about you pull over and you ask for directions? And this lady says to you, ma'am, could you tell me how to get there? She goes, oh, yeah, I work there. I'm there all the time. I'll tell you right how to get there from here. Who would you listen to? One who's never heard of it, doesn't even believe that it exists. One who heard of it but has no clue. One who has been there. Who would you listen to? Come on, reality check. Who would you listen to? Let's be honest with each other. You'd listen to the one who's been there. All right, what does Jesus say? I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. In my Father's house, I'm in many mansions. How do you know? I lived there. I came from there. I'm going back there. I'll make a place for you. Come and get you, take you back. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. Who would you listen to? Reality, just for a second. Come on, pretend like nobody's looking at you. Just for a second. Who would you listen to? All those people who choose to believe that the Seattle Opera House doesn't even exist? Or the one who works there? Jesus Christ is the way. He is. He's the truth. Truth is absolute. He's the life. There's no life in any other. You come to the Father only through the Son. There's only one way. Every way is a dead end. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. There is no other way to go. What have you done about it? Have you really given your heart to the Lord? Have you really? Do you belong to Him? Or are you still trying to decide what you think is real and what you think isn't real? Jesus did miracle after miracle. He did things no one has done. He and only He could be God. He has prophesied, God's word from beginning to end has prophesied, no other book on this planet even attempts to do that. God has never missed yet. He is 100% accurate. He has said, I am God. Anybody else that wants to be God also must be able to predict 100% accurate. Who has done it so far? God and God alone. I'm just telling you reality. I don't know what you do with it. That's up to you. But reality is, you'd have to close your eyes and ignore what Jesus Christ has done and said. You just have to do it. You'd have to not deal with reality. I don't know where you're going, Lord. How could I know the way? Thomas, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man, no one in humankind comes to the Father but by me. Have you ever come to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son? Have you ever done that? Let's bow our heads together. And let's just take a moment to pray. And I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. Maybe you never have asked Jesus into your heart. A couple of things you need to do. It's not work involved. You need to recognize that you're a sinner, that all of us are sinners. That probably, even though you didn't know what the commandments were, probably you've said something that you should have never said. You've thought something that you should have never thought. You've done something that you shouldn't have done. You forgot to do something that you should have done. In other words, even though you may not know the commandments, you've broken them. We're all sinners. We recognize that. And another thing we need to recognize is sin must be paid for. Either I will pay for my own, or I can believe the truth of the Bible that says Jesus Christ paid it for me. If you want your sins washed away, completely paid for, forgiven, gone, if you want to be able to enter into the presence of the Father for eternity, all roads are dead ends except one. Jesus Christ is the way. Have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? If you'd like to do that, while our heads are bowed, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. You repeat the prayer after me, or what God lays on your heart. Let's pray together. Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. For no one could say those things and do those things, and no man has, except Jesus himself. I believe he is your Son. I believe he died on the cross, shed his blood for the sins of the world, and I have sinned. And I believe he rose again on the third day, that he's alive. And he paid the price for my sin. Jesus, you said you stand at the door of my heart and you would knock. And that if I would open the door, you would come in. So Lord, be my Lord. I open my heart and ask you to come in to my life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I give myself to you and ask that you take up residence in my life. As sincerely as I know how, I pray. While our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer with me or something like that, if you said yes and opened your heart to Jesus, would you raise your hand so that I can see it now? Go ahead, raise them up. No one's looking at you but me. Okay, I see your hands. I see yours way over here. I see your hands. God bless you all. Father God, when we simply look at your word, we know it's true. The things that you're doing in our hearts, things you're doing in our lives, things we see going around us in this world, going on around us, Lord, we see that you're in control, even though it's an ugly situation that we're in. I just thank you for these today who are willing to say yes to Jesus. Bold enough to raise their hands and say, Lord, he's in my heart now. Lord, all of us that belong to you, thank you. As we worship you, speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, by your strength to deal with what is truth, with what really is reality, as compared to all the arguments and the circular reasoning and the foolishness that there can be in this world. You said, let's reason together. Lord, help us to think clearly, to listen to you. As we worship you, change our hearts. Work in us, Lord, we pray.